Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
This is fundamentally changing the game for trades business owners. At the end of the day, you're just going to make more profit, right? And that's the bottom line. You're just going to make more money in your business.
Yeah, well, we're not called unprofitable tradies. Right? So.
The cost to get more customers is rising, and most people ask the question of how do I get cheaper jobs? But that is a race to the bottom. Instead, they should be asking a different question, one which will fundamentally change the game for them and boost profit.
Yeah. So you just got to be proactive and more than you think, because people are busy. They don't have time for this sort of stuff, so you just got to keep reaching out, and they're not going to know. So you just got to reach out more and more and more and more, keep pushing it, have a system behind it, and that's going to change the game as well. Yeah.
Tune into this episode where we flip the switch on how to spend less on marketing but get more jobs and profit.
All right, welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. I'm your host Phil Smith, and I'm here with Damon Fisher, our head of marketing for Profitable Tradie. Guy is a gun. He knows everything when it comes to getting more jobs and making them great. So welcome, Damo. Great to have you here.
Yeah, awesome to be here. Good to be on the other side.
Yeah, man. Usually you're just sort of listening to these in quality control.
Yeah,
and that
kind of thing. Quality control. So yeah, I'll be getting that feedback after the episode, I think.
I can't wait to give you feedback.
It's going to be fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, so like you said, I think everything's going up in cost at the moment, right? Like the fuel prices, material prices, house prices, everything's going up. And advertising's absolutely no different, right? So the cost of advertising is going through the moon, and the cost to get a customer is getting expensive. And most people ask the question, which is probably the right question in some senses, but the wrong question in other senses, which is, how do I get cheaper leads? And the thing with that question is, it's a race to the bottom. You're just going to keep competing with everyone else that's trying to do cheaper and better marketing. Whereas there's another question, which is more of a fundamental question, that's going to make the game so much easier, which is, how do I increase the lifetime value of the customer so I'm squeezing more out of the money that I'm spending already?
Yeah, man. And I think now more than ever, it's absolutely critical to maximize that back end and get your best bang for buck, because things are getting more expensive, as we know. This actually reminds me of a story. It's actually an old parable that came from Israel. And what it is this guy, he's got a donkey. And he wants to see just how little he can feed his donkey. So right. What he does is every day he feeds his donkey a little bit less. Next day, a little bit less. Next day, a little bit less. And he's like, hey, this is going really well. I think I'm going to get a really cheaply fed donkey. Till one day the donkey didn't wake up. And at that point, he said, you know, it's just a bummer, because if he'd held on a little bit longer, I could have got him to the point where I fed him nothing. Now, obviously, there's a little bit of a joke here, but the reality is that, you know, your marketing's the same. If you're feeding that donkey bugger all and you're getting less and less and trying to put less and less into it, yeah, eventually it's actually going to stop. It's going to die. So rather than racing to the bottom, you should be trying to see how long you can keep that donkey alive, because it's going to be a lot better to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an outrageous plan from the start, but like, you talk about like a donkey and it's like, that sounds crazy, but I think people do the same with their advertising, and it's
absolutely.
Just a trap that people fall into, absolutely.
That's right. It's like, don't try to feed it less, try to keep it alive longer, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's it. So I think in this case, you know, if we are racing to the bottom and we're not maximizing that back end, we run into some big problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first problem that I see people facing is that it's getting more expensive, so you just kind of like scatterbrain and you just try and do a bit of everything, or you're changing everything. So you're doing more marketing. You're like, where's the cheapest form of marketing? Where can I get the cheapest leads from? And then you try one thing and then you move to the next, and it just takes a lot of time and energy to do that, right? Or you're trying to do more marketing, like you're spending more, you're doing more ads, you're launching more variations, or like you might even be working with a marketing agency and they're not bringing in cheap enough leads. So you're like, I want to move to the next one. They're not good enough. Or I need to hire someone else to do it. They're not performing. And it's just a lot of like effort, a lot of time.
Hard out, man. Way too much. And obviously we don't want to be working harder, man. We're working hard enough.
Busy as it is, right?
That's it. What else?
I mean, the obvious one is you're just spending a lot, right? Like costs are going up, so you're just spending way more and more to get a customer. I think back in the day, right, like you could launch a Facebook ad or you could launch a Google ad and you'd get customers for like under $10, and I was like, this is awesome. Like you just need to show up to the trough and you get fed.
The golden days, eh?
Yeah, for sure. But now it's like, it's just so expensive and it's only getting up, so you're spending more to get customers.
Yeah, man, and obviously money does run out eventually, so yeah. We need to maximize. So in this case, what else happens, dude?
I think with the first two comes energy from that, right? Like business is a game of like confidence, and you want to feel like you're in control, and when things aren't going well, or you're spending all this money, you're not getting the return, or you're chasing lots of shiny objects, you lose enough times, you just start to lose faith in marketing, right? Like you're just like, I'm just going to go back to relying on word of mouth, or like, I just don't believe it's possible. Like, maybe I'll just stay the same size as I am. So you lose the confidence that marketing is the vehicle to get you to where you need to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially, you lose faith in feeding that donkey at all. You're like, I'll just let it die.
Stupid donkey.
I never needed a donkey in the first place. And ultimately, where do we end up, man?
I mean, you're making no money, right? Like, that's the thing. You're spending all this money. It's costing you almost more to get the customer than you're making from it. So you just end up going backwards. You're chasing your tail and you're just making no money, really.
Yeah, and we don't want to be there. But on the other side, if we can maximize that back end, you know, that client lifetime value, get more bang for our buck, where do we end up?
Kind of the flip side, right? Like, it just becomes easier. In a weird way, you can actually, like, do less and get more. So you can just focus in on a few core things and just really nail those and focus your time there. And then you're going to get more customers, make more money, and in less time.
Yeah, well, that sounds good. Yeah. What else?
Yeah, I think you're going to make more money, right? So if you can nail this, you can spend the same amount of money, but you can make 2, 3, 4, 5 times more money off the same amount. So you're just gonna make more profit. And with that, again, comes with the confidence. You've now got this machine or the system that you can rely on when you put money in. You're like, yes, this is gonna bring me return. I'm gonna enjoy spending the money because I'm seeing the return of it. And it just gives you that feeling of control, and you can reinvest that into your business, into your equipment, your staff, your systems, whatever. And it's just like a real recipe for growth and makes things fun.
Yeah, man. Well, essentially the advertising becomes cheap, right? Because, I mean, cheap or expensive are relative terms. So, you know, instead of thinking this is expensive, I'm paying a lot for a lead or paying a lot for a job, you might be paying the same amount, but now it seems cheap because you just get more out of it. So same amount, way different, you know, perception of what that costs you. What else happens?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what? $100,000 to get a customer? Whoa, that's too expensive. But what if that customer was worth $1 million? It's like, that's pretty cheap in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, pretty easy trade.
Now, if it's $1,000 to get a $400 customer, you're like, whoa, that's expensive. And you're probably kind of on the money with that one as well, right?
Yeah, well, throwing money on a fire is probably not advisable.
Not
a good plan. Right, what else happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you're just going to make more profit, right? And that's the bottom line. You're just going to make more money in your business. And that's kind of a big part of what we're doing here is making more profit.
Yeah, well, we're not called unprofitable tradie, right? So there is
doesn't quite have the same ring to it, right?
No. I mean, we do have a bit of a mission. So, hey, look, I think a good place to start with this is maybe an explanation just for those who don't really understand the concept 100%. So, you know, what I want to talk about is a gap between a thing called CAC and GP. So what I'm talking about here is, you know, CAC, it stands for client acquisition costs. So this is how much you spent to get a job. And in this case, let's say you're doing some marketing and you spend some money on that, whether it's a Google ad, Facebook ad, whether it's a lumpy mail campaign, flyers, anything. You're spending money to do the advertising. So you have a marketing spend. That campaign then gets some jobs. And when you know how many jobs you got from that campaign, you can then figure out what it costs to get each job by taking the amount of money you spent divided by the amount of jobs you got. Pretty straightforward. And that is your CAC. It's what it costs you to get a client or a job. From there, you actually do those jobs, and those jobs will have a value, and then you'll make a gross profit from those jobs. So it's how much profit did I make, gross profit, from the jobs I did in that campaign. What I'm then able to do is compare whether or not I spent more money to get the jobs than I made on the jobs, or whether I spent less money on the jobs than I made on the jobs. So in this case, let's say that you did a marketing campaign and you figured out your CAC was about $100 per job. So it cost me $100 to get a job. And I figured out that most of the jobs I did averaged about $200. They were small jobs and they were a 50% GP, which meant I made $100 on each job. What that would mean is I spent $100 to get the job and I made $100 on the job. So I broke even, right? But wrong, because you still have all the rest of your overheads to pay. So you're actually losing money on each single one of those jobs. So obviously what we're talking about today is how to widen the gap between that CAC, what you spent for the job, and how to, and what you actually made on the job. So if the wider we can make that gap, the more profit you actually end up with per job. And I think, like we said earlier, you could spend time lowering the CAC, what it cost you, to actually win a job or some work. But that's really, really hard. Like, it's tough, especially in this market. So today we're talking about the opposite. It's how do we raise the value that we're getting from each client so that regardless what we paid to get them, we're still making good money. I remember you said to me there was three main levers that we can pull to do this. Why don't you kick into those?
Yeah, for sure. And I think just like to add to your point as well, right? Like, this is the game now. The game is if you can both, you and your competitor can both spend $200 to get the customer. If you get $3,000 over the next 12 months and they get $600, you're going to win that. So the question or the thought at the back of your mind should be, how can I spend more to get a customer than everyone else? And it sounds a bit weird, right? Like you don't want to spend more. But when you put it in those terms, if you can spend more, then the cycle over time is just going to win, because the person that's spending $200 to get the $600, they're just going to keep chasing. So just ask that as a question, which is basically, how do I spend more to win?
Yeah. So rather than spending less, how can I, you know, make it okay that I spent more?
For sure. And maybe I'll add a word in there, which is probably important. It's like, how do I spend more profitably to beat them? But for shock factor, let's just say, how do I spend more to beat
them? I
mean,
one way you could spend more is go to the bank and get a huge loan and just blow it all.
For sure.
I mean,
sure,
like, but don't do that.
Yeah. So I think that's really important. And yeah, like, to the three key levers, right? There's ways in which you can do it. And there's the short term, right? So you've spent your $200, you can come in and your competitor or the person that's not doing this, they're like, great, I got this job. I'm just going to get stuck in. I'm just going to get the job done. I'm going to get out and I'm going to move on to the next one. Whereas the savvy business owner, the guy that's thinking about the lifetime value, one thing they could be doing is upselling, right? So you pre-frame that when someone calls up, you say, hey, part of our service is that we'll do a free safety inspection on your property to make sure everything's working as it should be. That is another word for upselling. Whereas basically you're going to the site, you have a checklist that your guys go around and they check off everything in the property, and then they say, hey, look, this is all good, but like it's probably going to break in a few months' time, so would you like to get that done now? A lot of the time the customer's like, actually, while you're here, yes, can you do that? Great, you've just now turned that $200 job into the $400 job, like another job, right? So you've just doubled the situation.
And not only that, but you've actually provided better customer service to
your
client. Like real life situation, this happened to me actually just recently. So I had some guttering in my house, which was overflowing like all the time. Every time there's heavy rain, gutters are overflowing. And at first I thought I just need to clean them out. So I cleaned them out. Fun job, by the way. Fun job cleaning your gutters. I know anyone who's cleaned their gutters is going to be like, ugh, that sucks. A lot of dirt in there. Anyway, cleaned them all out. But hey, more heavy rain, more overflowing. So I called someone in to check it out. And you know, maybe replace the gutters, maybe they're no good. And one of the first things they told me is, well, dude, there's not enough downpipes at your house. And I was like, okay, well, you know, that'd make sense. So, hey, look, they did have there was some guttering that did need to be replaced. And so the guy came in, he replaced the guttering, but he also, you know, put four more downpipes on my house.
No.
And you know what? Like, that was actually the game changer that really made the difference. Now I get no overflow, and not only that, but I'm on tank water, man. I'm not on town water. I live in the country, so that was also all water I wasn't catching and getting into my tanks, whereas now I am. And you know, if you're on tank water and not on town water, you know water anxiety is real. Like, like in the dry months, you're like, oh man, I need to catch as much as I can. So the funny thing is like this guy got a great upsell. Like actually the downpipes ended up being worth more than the guttering, especially because he had to get it, you know, over to the tanks and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the thing is I'm stoked.
Yeah.
Like to me, I don't feel upsold at all. I feel like you solved a problem I didn't know I had, and it was a bigger problem than my original one. So you know, I think the thing is sometimes with upselling, we think, oh, am I going to be like, do you want fries with that? It's like, nah, man. You're looking around with this checklist. You're actually finding real things they actually need. You're not making shit up. And so at that point, when you say to the client or the customer, like, hey, you know, we've done this job, this is great, but hey, just so you know, there's these other issues, that they're going to be very receptive to that. They'll jump at it because these are real issues. You're not making stuff up.
Yeah. The saying goes, right, like people hate to be sold to, but they love shopping. So help them go shopping, like help them do some things that's going to solve the problems that they're facing. So upselling is a great way of doing that. And to tie back to the episode, right, it's about turning that $200 now into $400. And back to your example, right, you've spent the $100, but now you've got a $400 job at a 50% gross profit margin on both of them, right? So now that $100 has turned into $200.
Yeah.
We're starting to look good. We're starting to be able to cover these overheads, but there's more, right?
Oh, man.
We're only just getting started. So
I think quick one, if I can cut in as well, is I think sometimes with upselling, people will think, oh, you know, easy for guys doing service work. You know, you pop around to do a service job and there's other service stuff you can look for. But like this does apply to new builds, and it applies to, you know, renos, it applies to everything. Like absolutely. I'm actually getting my kitchen renovated as well. A lot of work being done at my house. A lot of tradies coming through. But anyway, so we're looking at the plan. Plumber's having a look at it. And as he walks around, he's like, he's got his basics he's got to do for this kitchen renovation. And he just says, by the way, do you want an instant boiling tap? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like definitely. Like, do you mean it so I don't have to boil the jug? He's like, nah, bro. You know, chuck it on. It's this much money. I was like, yeah, bro, do it. And he's like, I've also noticed like there's no plumbing behind your fridge, but you have an ice maker on the fridge. Like, that's a bit of a waste. I was like, yeah, man, it pisses me off.
I love
like,
an ice maker.
Yeah, oh, so yeah. Good, so good. He's like, do you want me to plumb the fridge? I was like, yeah. Like, that sounds magic. Like, that's amazing. You know, by the end, dude's got like 4 or 5 upsells, but literally just from like looking at the plan, he's standing there with me. He's just like, oh, by the way, I've noticed you don't have this. Do you know everyone has that these days? And I'm so, okay. Yeah. And
this guy sounds like the best guy in the world.
Right, great, so good. Great plumber. He is one of our clients. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, shout out.
But you know, like,
it's awesome. I think, upgrades. Like, that's a huge another opportunity is like, offer them a premium upgrade or something better. Also, like, there's people just like, a better service. So you could offer like a speed thing. So if you want to come sooner, you can offer them an increased price, but you get there sooner, right? So it's all those like premium extras, like guarantees or warranties and all that sort of stuff, right? Like you can bake those in, and that's just going to be like extra money for you and a better customer experience as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think again, like for those doing new builds, you might say, yeah, but how am I going to do it then, right? Like I don't even see the end user. Like, how can I upsell to them? And the builder doesn't want me to upsell to the builder. Mm. Well, we have a client called Brad here in Hamilton. He's an electrician. He actually just speaks to his builders and he says, hey, I've got this process I want to run, you know, where if you can let me have a walkthrough of the property with the client, you know, before we're putting in everything at the end, you know, let me walk through with the plans and I'll just sort of make sure that everything's cool with them. And I've got all my little price list of upsells I can do. I've already built your margin into it, Mr. Builder. And I'll get it all signed off right then and there, so there's no back and forward. And then I'll just send it to you and it's just money for jam. You'll just make extra money. It'll take me 10 minutes. Builder goes, sure, I'll believe it when I see it. And Brad walks through with the client and goes, where are you going to put the TV? Over there? Cool. You've only got one outlet. Are you going to put your internet router next to that? Yeah. Okay, cool. Like, why don't we put an extra outlet so you're not running 5 multi-boxes off there? And the guy's like, okay. Where are you going to put your kitchen table? Over here. All right, I've noticed there's no extra downlights above that, so the table might be a bit dark. Would you like it if we put better lighting above that? Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, man, I've noticed it. You know, he just like basically goes and asks them, where are you going to put stuff?
Yeah.
And then upsells a bunch of stuff for that. And then while he's there, he leaves a flyer for solar and he leaves this and that.
And
do you want a smart vent? You know, like it'd be easier for us to put it in before they finish the house rather than coming back and having to do it later. And, you know, at the end of all that, he's literally got it on his iPad. They sign it off right then and there. He's got all the pricing. It's all fixed prices. They sign it off right then and there and he just sends it to the builder and goes, by the way, made you an extra 10 grand. And the builder's like, what?
So good.
And it's all and you know what, the end user gets the house they actually wanted rather than having to get all this done later. Brad gets his upsells and the builder is stoked with Brad because Brad makes him extra money and no other Sparkies do. So guess who gets more builds? Brad.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he did this exact process on Tony, right?
So oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe there's a lesson in there. It's like, tailor your marketing to profitable trading stuff.
He did it to me too, man. Yeah. I wanted one heat pump and Brad left with a quote for like 3 heat pumps, a smart vent, 18 downlights and like some extra outlets and like, oh,
where the honeypot comes
from. Oh, I know. I'm a sucker, man. You just sell to me, you're going to make money. You know, point is like, it's like, this is not a some people thing. This is an everybody thing. And if you can push your average ticket price up even a little bit, it makes a huge difference to the balance between that CAC and the GP.
Yep.
And any widening of that gap is beneficial because it means you can spend more than your competitors, as we talked about earlier. So this is huge.
Huge. All right. So I think the next thing to think about is like, how do you increase the frequency of that happening, right? Because you might do this in your first visit when you meet with the customer, but can you do this more times? So can you get the customer to do this in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years? What, you know, the cycle continues, right? So there's obviously tools you can use and whatnot. So you've got your customer database and they talk about, you know, it's 7 times more easy to sell to an existing customer than a new customer. So email marketing. Great tool. Send an offer out every month to your email database. Have you got the special on this? Or do you have any like leaking taps or lights that need installation? Anything like that? Put anything out there, to be fair. I think one of our members actually put a price rise letter out there and somehow won 15 jobs. Which kind of is backwards, but if you put a good offer out there, you can squeeze more. So that customer that came in initially, off, you know, circling back to the $200 to get them, they've now upsold, so they're now 400. You now get a job from them in 6 months' time. We're now talking 600 from the 200.
Hmm.
If you're working with your larger customers, your builders or your commercial customers and whatnot, keep the relationship, keep it nurturing, right? Reach out for a phone call at least once a month. Swing by for a coffee, like keep that relationship going and ask them, hey, do you have any extra work? Like, do you need any help with anything?
Yeah.
And that's going to lead to more work as well, right?
Even sometimes you can go past, you know, for those relationships, you know, sometimes when you're going through, do you have any more work? Do you have any more work? Yeah, it can be a hard one. It gets awkward after a while. So just go past and be like, hey, we're loving working with you. We want to make sure you love working with us too. What do you reckon we could do better? You know, what are some things that would just be perfect that nobody does in this field, you know, and would it be possible for us to do that? Ask them questions about how you could improve. And actually what that will do is, it builds a lot of trust between you and the client. And also, it is another touch point. And naturally, this does lead into, well, if I'm going to do that stuff for you, there needs to be another job, right?
So, like, exactly right. You can say it inadvertently through.
Yeah, that's right. So that still gets it done. But I also think, you know, you can look for these opportunities everywhere. Like, even if you were going to try to upsell as lever one, some of these things, you know, you may not be able to actually lock in right now. But what you can do is make a note of, you know, Mr. Jones, you know, he said he was mildly interested in solar, so I can follow him up in a month or so and see where he's at, you know,
exactly.
and potentially book future work. Or you might install something which might need maintenance and get them on a maintenance plan. Install the air conditioning unit, it's like that needs to be serviced. So again, like call them up whenever the service is needed and say, hey, you're due for your service. When should we come around?
Massive.
So you can book heaps. And I think, you know, continuing to market to your list is huge too, right?
Exactly right. And it's just like, it's just keeping top of mind and continuing to get them to see you as the person to reach out to. And you'll be very surprised at how often you can do that. I think you can do it a lot more. It's not once a month and you might feel like you're like, oh, I'm reaching out to these guys too much. Are they going to get annoyed? And say, no, you're just putting yourself out there and they're getting reached out to by heaps of people anyway. Just put a valuable offer in front of them and they're probably going to be like, oh, I need to remember to look at that email next time, because last time they sent me an email was like with a great deal and I would just want to make sure that I get that deal. Maybe not now, but maybe next month's time sort of thing. So absolutely.
I mean, if you've done a job for someone, you have their email address, you have their phone number, that means you can call them and you can email them. So, I mean, like you might as well keep marketing these people. And even offline stuff, like, I don't know about you, but like if you look under your bathroom cabinets, there's a sticker in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whoever installed that vanity, there's a sticker
100%.
In there. If you look in the cabinetry in your kitchen, there's a sticker in there. Whoever was the cabinet maker, there's a sticker in there. I mean, I think the thing is if you do a job at someone's house, if you can leave a sticker, if you can chuck a fridge magnet on the fridge,
those get your signage out, all that sort of stuff. I mean, you could put flyers and stuff. It's like to the neighborhood as you go, like could be a KPI for your guys. Have to leave 5 flyers after every job, you know, like it's all sort of stuff like that that's going to help get more people coming in down the line.
And I think that that leads us to lever number 3.
Lever number 3, and this is the powerful one, right? Because the first two are adding to your total, so you're going, you know, 200, 400, 600, 800, 1200. This one is referrals. If you can get your customer to refer someone else, so for every customer that you get, they add an extra customer, you're now just doubling the exact same effect, right? So it's reaching out to your customers at the end of a job, if you've done a good job, and saying, hey, do you know of anyone that needs some help with their work or their jobs as well? You know, maybe we offer $50 off for the first job or something like that, like a little incentive. But then it becomes, okay, now I've paid $200, I've upsold them, but I've also got extra customers. And then you run that same process on them, right? You upsell them, you get them to book in jobs 6-12 months down the line as well. So really driving your referral strategy is going to be the secret sauce on top of this. And this is that, you know, the word of mouth that we talk about, right? But like it's the super powerful.
I think this is massive because, like you said, the first two are additive, but this one is multiplicative because you're getting a second bite at the cherry for the first two strategies.
Yeah.
For free
as
well, which is magic. So again, like you said, that $200, you know, originally you might have had $200 spend, you only got $200 GP. You do the first two strategies and that, you know, that $200 spend becomes $4, $6, $8, you know, $1,000 GP. But then also you get the referral and now you get another $1,000 GP from another person. And so now we're getting $2,000, off of that 200, which again is huge, man. Yeah. This is a wicked difference.
It starts as a small pool, but it goes exponentially, right? And in my example, right, so you spend 200, you get the 3,000. That's how you do it with these referrals and whatnot. But super powerful.
Yeah, and I think the hardest part with this is actually just asking. Like, I think that's really where we get stuck. Like, it's actually very simple. Just ask. You've just put solar in for someone's house, and it's just like, hey, do you reckon anyone else in the neighborhood would also be interested in solar? Or you've just replaced somebody's hot water unit. It's like, hey, is there anyone else in the neighborhood that has a house built around the same time might also need a new unit? You can ask. Do you know anyone? It's pretty simple. You just ask.
It's an activity strategy. You just got to be proactive and more than you think, because people are busy. They don't have time for this sort of stuff. So you just got to keep reaching out, and they're not going to notice. So you just got to reach out more and more and more and more. Keep pushing it. Have a system behind it. Absolutely, that's important. Like, you can. I know there's those review sites and stuff where it's like you send it out after a job's done, and if they leave reviews, then you can reach out for the referrals and stuff. But have a system behind it, and that's going to change the game as well.
Yeah. Well, even that, though, I think there's indirect ways to do this too. So directly is asking, indirect ways to get referrals. I mean, if you ask for reviews, the person who leaves a review is actually far more likely to also refer, even if unprompted, because the thing is, they've just put themselves out there promoting you publicly. And so at that point, they're actually more likely to continue then talking about you to friends, because, I mean, they're already in that habit. They already started that process. And if someone asks them, hey, look, who did you use for this? I mean, they're going to keep you in mind because they already wrote you up online. Not only that, but what you said before with the flyers in the neighborhood, I think this is also a great way to drive referrals, because instead of getting your customer to have to push you to other people as a referral, you can actually get the other people to come and ask your customer. So an example of this is, let's say, again, solar. I put solar on someone's house, and I go around, just his direct neighbors, and I say, hey, you might have seen that Jonesy at number 4 has just got solar installed. Like, this is the benefits Jonesy's going to get, blah, blah, blah. If you also want those benefits, why don't you go talk to Jonesy about it and see how he's getting on? Yeah. Otherwise, you can give us a call on blah, 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 blah. Now, they might not call you straight away, but they might go and ask Jonesy.
Absolutely. Nosy neighbors, right? Everyone's interested in what's going on over at Jonesy's. So.
Yeah. You want to keep up with the Jonesy's.
Yeah. So. Well, people follow people, right? So
that's it.
Absolutely.
And that way, they're approaching your customer and asking, hey, how did you find this? And at that point, like, the referral was actually prompted by someone else, which means it takes that difficulty, that barrier away from your client, where they had to put themselves out there to do this. Again, if I was a landscaper, going around to a new development, a couple of the houses are finished, the rest of them are not finished yet, first couple people move in, what's not done is the landscaping. You move in, the house is built, it may even be unfenced property, and the landscaping is not done. You come in, you do a landscaping job. You know what I'd do is I'd go around every letterbox, even the unfinished houses, and I'd put a flyer in there that says, hey, congratulations on moving into your new home. Before you lived here, we already did a landscaping job at number 2, and I bet you've moved into your amazing new home. You're loving it, but you're looking out your window at an unlandscaped backyard, and that's an eyesore.
Hit me in the feels. Yeah.
So if you want to fix that problem, why don't you go talk to Mike at number 2? Because
funny, here I am.
And so again, like, you give them that soft CTA where the call to action, sure, there's a, hey, call this number if you'd like to get it sorted. Or you can go and speak to Mike at number 2, which is actually a lower barrier entry to that person. And so they're actually more likely to go and ask Mike, hey, how did you find Damon Fisher Landscaping?
Yep.
Then they are to just call you directly. So it's a really good way to drive referrals.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we hit the nail on the head, man. Three real strong levers here. And just to land this plane, like we said earlier, the cost of getting customers is going up, man. It's rising. And so if you're asking that question of how do I get cheaper jobs, just remember you're probably asking the wrong question. That's a race to the bottom. Instead, be asking that different question, the game changer, which is, how can I maximize my customer lifetime value through the 3 levers that we've mentioned today? So thanks heaps for listening. It's been awesome. We'll see you again next time.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
There's a lever in your business that could add $50,000, $100,000, even $200,000 in revenue and profits to your business. And it doesn't require more jobs, doesn't require more marketing, more sales, more quotes, doesn't require new team members or any fancy software. Now tune into this episode where we outline the most powerful way to improve your profits simply and quickly.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.